Hofgimmel Tavis, Thursday the 26th of December, are by Joseph Perlman, Toichoko.
I can imagine that concentration will become difficult after hitting one shear after another. So we'll try and do a bit of activity here. I was asked to talk about a topical subject, and I was scratching my head as to what is topical. Mitternacht, of course, has already taken place. So I thought, look, topical is always we want to bring Mashiach. And how do we bring Mashiach? Well, we know that our Torah is not the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu as great as, of course, it's the same Torah, but not quite as intense. Our Avodah, we haven't got a Beis Hamikdash, so we only got our Tefillah. And it's well known that the way we bring Mashiach today is only through the third Amud, or not only, but mainly through the third Amud, which is Chesed. And Chesed is basically Bein Odom Lachavero. So I thought we would start and have a look at some aspect of Bein Odom Lachavero which we can improve ourselves with. But just as a hakdoma, if you've got this sheet in front of you, we're not going to get through the whole amount, but I put down a lot of makoros which are of interest. I'd just like to start off by pointing out that in the very, very first word of Bereshis, we have the essence of the Torah, because if you take what's called the Nistar of the letters of Bereshis, it's all set out for you in this. If anybody hasn't got, there's more here if you want to have a look. The Nistar means that you take the gematria of the letters, here we are, share them out if you want. You take a matter of the letters, so the base becomes Yud Tof, and the Reish becomes Yud Shin, etc., as set out in the sheet. You'll find it comes to the number 907. Together with the what's called the Nigla of Bereshis, which is a gematria of 913, you get the fantastic figure of 1820, which everybody should know is the number of times that the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu occurs in the Yud Kei Vav Kei in the Torah, and there are many other fantastic occurrences of this special number 1820. But we're not looking into that, we're looking into this number 907. Now, many years ago, the Sasser Rebbe Zichron Levracha told me that V'ohavtos Hashem Lokecho has exactly the same gematria as V'ohavto Lerecho Kamocha Ani Hashem. At the time, I believed him, you know, I didn't bother checking, but in subsequent, I realized that when a person tells you a gematria, it's worth checking just to make sure it's correct, whoever tells you it, because sometimes it doesn't always fit. And when I checked, I was absolutely bowled over that they are both 907. Now, that is something absolutely remarkable. The Nista of Bereshis has in it the fact it is the same as V'ohavtos Hashem Elokecho, which is referring to Bein Odom Lamokoim, and it's also exactly the same as V'ohavtos Lerecho Kamoch Ani Hashem, which is the Bein Odom Lachavero. I heard something similar from a Sephardi Levi in Heichal Lea, so it's not entirely my own, but it's a combination of factors. Now, what that is teaching me is that the very essence of the Torah starts, we all know that the Gaon could spend his whole life on the word Bereshis, but the very essence of the beginning of the Torah is you have to do V'ohavtos Hashem Elokecho, and you have to do V'ohavto Lerecho Kamocha Ani Hashem. They both go together. And if we move now to the Bein Odom Lachaver, everybody knows Bein Odom Lamakom, you've got Krishma, you've got tefillah, we've got tefillin, all the mitzvahs, that we all do. It's not terribly difficult to perform, provided you have kavona. But Bein Odom Lachaveru is terribly difficult. It's very, very difficult to try to reduce your own covered and push up somebody else's covered. It's always like that. You know, if you are late for shul, you've got every excuse in the sun, you're not well, you're tired, it doesn't matter if you don't get there till Baruch Hu, you can do it. And there's a later minion. If somebody else comes late for sure, oh, heavens above. What an apikoros he is. This is what goes through people's minds. That's human nature. And we've got to try to combat that. Now, the mitzvahs of Bein Odom Lachaveru sit out basically in Parshas Kedoshim. And it's interesting that it starts off with all sorts of vitally important mitzvahs, such as Kibbud Av, Shmir Shabbos, Al Tifnu El Elilim, as Avodah Zarah. And then it talks about Korbonus, and then it talks about not doing Geneva, and Sheker, and Shuashav, and Chilul Hashem. All that is in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, where, by the way, the Aseres HaDibros are also there in Parshas Kedoshim in a different order. And then it goes on and starts talking about Bein Odom L'Chaver, and it's got a list. Now, I've listed down the main ones. First of all, B'tzedek Tishpot Es Amisecho. Start off by judging your friend charitably. Now, according to certain opinions, it's referring to the Beis Din, but we also know it's referring to how we behave. Just as I said before, that when you make allowances for yourself, but tzedek tishpot es amisecho, make allowances for other people. Don't criticize other people unnecessarily. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And that is the whole mitzvah of don lekaf zchus, which is a whole topic on its own. You've got to learn how to be don lekaf zchus. And don't just jump to conclusions that the other person has automatically got it wrong. Then it says, Lo selech rochel be'amecha. Don't go talking and chatting. Everybody knows about Lashon Hara. It's a huge subject, and I'm not going to go into it in detail, but clearly what happens very often is you don't judge your friend in a good manner, and then you start talking about it to other people. That's a terrible aveira of Lashon Hara. And we know that basically the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinom, which came from Lashon Hara. And we also know that the Geulas Mitzrayim, according to the Medrash, the main reason for the Geulas Mitzrayim was they did not speak Lashon Hara, get one to the other. So if we can be careful about Lashon Hara, then we can bring the Geula. Then the Pasuk goes on to say, Lo Samoid Al Dam Reacho. Don't stand back while your friend is in difficulty. We have a duty to help other people, not just to say, I'm all right, and let everybody else get on with their own lives. We have a duty not to interfere, but at least to try to assist. And then it says, Lo sisna ochicho belvovecho, don't well up hatred inside you. And that is the issa of sinas chinom. And I'm quite convinced that the word sino in Chumash, although it can mean hatred, it also means something else. It means richuk. Don't distance yourself from other people. We can see that in the case of Leah. When Leah says, Vatelaki snua anochi, Leah said, I'm snua. Now, there's no way in the world that Yaakov Avinu would have hated another Jew. And chas v'sholom that he should hate his wife Leah. He didn't hate his wife Leah at all. Never came into question. So what do you mean, snua anochi? Snua means he's distanced himself from me. He's not as close as he should be. And you find that in Mishlei it says, a person who doesn't give the child punishment, shifter means the rod of punishment, he hates his son. Now you say, well, that doesn't make sense. But if you learn pshat, that son, it doesn't mean say he hates him, but it's merachek him. It causes him to be distant. It doesn't create the friendship and warmth, then it makes a lot more sense. And you see that again in a number of places throughout the Tanakh, that the word sino just means richuk, creating a distance, which of course will lead to hatred, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. Nowadays, sino, you talk about sinas chinom, means hatred, but it also means creating a distance between one Jew and another. It's all part of the same syndrome. Instead, says the Pasuk, Hocheach toichiach es amisecho. Make sure that you give toichocha. Now, I deliberately have not translated the words toichocha. People normally say, tell them off. The truth of the matter is, telling off is normally yaser. Yaser, liyaser is to tell somebody off. Hocheach doesn't mean to tell a person off, really. It can mean that. In fact, in the noun form, you've got the tochocho, and you've got tochecho, two different words. Like tochechos balumim is not the same as tochocho. When we talk about the tochecho, which is a mispronunciation of Ashkenazim, it's really tochecha. Not tochacha, but tochecha. Because tochecha means to tell somebody off. However, tochacha, with a comets comes from Yochach, and Rashi many places in Chumash says it means to prove your case. So if I'm giving toichocho to somebody, I'm not telling them off, I'm just showing them the way. I'm proving the case. It doesn't mean telling them off, it means showing them the right way of behavior. Okay. That's what toichocho really means. Toichacha.
The hochacha is
to prove. The hochacha is to prove. Yeah, but the verb is yachach. So chiach means to prove your case. How do I prove my case? I can prove my case by yelling at you, but it's not really a good proof. The best proof is to show you the way, to prove it to you. It can mean both, and we'll see. Just a second. Then velosisa alav chet. The pasuk says, and do not create a chet. Now there's two main pshatim in that pasuk. One is velosisa alav chet. That means that in doing what you're doing, don't make a bigger avera. So if I go to you and embarrass you, I'm giving you tochocha, but the embarrassment is in a terrible avera in doing so. And Rashi points out, if you have a look at the below, Rashi, yochol afilu ponov mishtanos, do you think that the tochocha is going to be given if the other fellow is going to go red? Talmud loyma velosis olav chet. Don't do it in such a way that the other person is going to be embarrassed. And the other pshat is, velosis olav chet, by not doing it, you'll be doing an avera. So there's two pshatim. One is, tochech tochiach, do it, because if you don't do it, you'll be doing a bigger avera. And the other is, if you are doing it, do it in such a way that you won't create an avera. That's the two forms of losis olav chet. And then the pasuk goes on with other things like nekima and netira, and it finishes off with haftal re'echa kamocha ani Hashem, which is where we started off. I want to look a little bit more at this concept of losis nochicha b'lovecha and hocher tochiach. If you do not tell your friend what you think he's doing wrong, you can in fact create within you a terrible feeling of richuk or hatred. And the prime example of this is a famous case of Avshalom. If you look at the Maaseh of Avshalom in the middle of Shmuel Beis, you'll see there he was very, very upset by the fact that Amnon had treated his sister in the way he'd done. And it built up within him. He didn't go and have it out with Amnon. Why did you do it? Will you do teshuva? Can you improve yourself? It says quite clearly in the Tanakh, he built up within him for two whole years this hatred, this annoyance. And guess what happened at the end of the 2 years? He was so annoyed by the end of the 2 years that he arranged to kill Amnon. It came to murder. He murdered his brother. When I use the word murder, in fact, it may not have been murder. It may have been a justifiable homicide. He justified it himself that he was entitled to do it, etc. So we can't, chas v'shalom, just criticize somebody and say he's a murderer. But at the same time, he did cause the death of his brother. All because he built up this hatred within him for a whole period of 2 years. Had he had it out, had he discussed it, maybe that would never have happened. So, losisno achicha b'lvavecho means, you know that somebody's done something which irritates you or has upset you. If you do nothing about that, then what's going to happen is you're going to build up inside you this feeling of irritation and annoyance. It's going to create a distance between you and that person, and it can have terrible, terrible consequences afterwards. Therefore, the pasuk says, don't allow that to happen. Instead, hocheach tochiach es amisecho, make sure that you go and you improve, you prove to your friend how he should behave. Now, how do you go about doing that? Now, just before we look at the ways of doing it, we haven't got a lot of time, but I just want to mention two Gemaras, which maybe we'll do in detail on another occasion. One Gemara says, how far do you have to go with your tochocho? The Gemara in Erchin says, you've got to go, according to Rav, right up to hitting the fellow. It goes as far as hitting him, to make him listen to you. According to Shmuel, it goes as far as Kalel, to curse the fellow, which you're not allowed to curse another year, but you're allowed to go as far as that. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, to Nezifo. Nezifo means to to mach up, to sort of to make fun of him, so to speak, to make it be very, very unpleasant to him. That's how far you've got to go. But then they all ask the kasha. There's another very famous Gemara in Yevamos, which says kishem shem mitzvah lomar. Hanishma, just this is a vital mitzvah to tell a person something he's going to listen. Kach mitzvah shaloi loima dover she'ena nishma. Don't do it if the fellow's not going to listen to you. You're wasting your time. So how do you reconcile these two Gemaras? One Gemara says you've got to go all the way to hitting him. In fact, the Chinuch slightly qualifies that and says, ad korov lahako. You don't actually hit him. Now, although the Gemara says you go as far as hitting him, the Chinuch qualifies that slightly up to about to hit him. Although the Rambam actually says hitting him. Now, but the other Gemara says, if you know he's not going to listen, don't waste your time doing it. On the contrary, you're going to make things worse. How do you reconcile those two Gemaras? Now, that would take a little while. There are all sorts of different and interesting shittas as to how to reconcile those two Gemaras. We haven't got time for that at this occasion. But instead, what is absolutely clear is that the in between those two Gemaras is an area where you've got to try and make yourself heard. Everybody agrees you've got to try a way of making sure that the other person will listen. On the one hand, it says you've got to go really a long way, and the Hochetrach says even 100 times. Well, you know, if a person comes to you 100 times, you're going to get rather fed up after the 10th time. You're going to irritate the guy. The guy's going to say, well, laws up. Stop, why are you doing it? So the chatting 100 times doesn't mean 100 times the same thing. You've got to try 100 different methods of getting through to the other person. There's all sorts of different methods of getting through to somebody else who's insulted or upset you. And I've set out at the bottom half here 7 different eitzas in connection with the form of tochocha which is much more likely to work. And by doing that, you'll be mekayim the mitzvah. So, the first thing you've got to bear in mind is that the other chap is a human being and you must not hurt his covered in any way. So let's take that guy who keeps coming late for shul. You, to go up to him and say, what a shmurger you are, or what a rosher you are, or what a bad person you are, that's not going to work. All that's going to do is set him up against you. He's not going to improve, he's not going to listen to you. Unlikely he'll listen to you. Maybe the odd occasion you might find some real tzaddik who will actually be makabel and try and do a bit better. But generally speaking, can you imagine what you would do if somebody came up to you and told you what a rosher you are for being 5 minutes late for shul? You're not likely to like that fellow afterwards. You're not likely to take too much notice of him. And you, in fact, you probably react by chas v'shalom doing some aveira of nekoma of some sort. So that's not the way to go about it. You have to be makpid on the covered of the other person, and that's exactly what it says in Mishlei, al toichach letz pen yisno eko. Don't give toichacha to a letz. Now, that means, in the simple explanation is, if you've got a person's a complete letz, it's a waste of time talking to him, so don't bother. But another a way of learning pshat in the posuk is, al toichach letz, don't treat the other fellow as a letz. Because if you treat him as a letz, then you'll not get through to him. All you end up is pen yisno echo, as I said to you before. You'll create a richuk. You'll create a distance. So there's no point in doing that. Another example. This morning, I'm a gabba in the shul, and I had to give an aliyah for shlishi. There were 2 people. One was a chosan who wasn't known to anybody in shul. And Hamdi was a chosan, so we didn't say tachanun. And the other person was a member who had a grandson yesterday. Which one do I give the aliyah to? Big problem for the gabba. Now, whatever the gabba does is wrong, you know that. Right? So whatever I do, I'm in for it. So I thought about the halacha. The halacha, you've got a chosan who is a chiyuv, because in the chiyuv, even though he's not a toisha, which is an interesting question, but I didn't know, maybe he got married to a toisha, I don't know. I didn't know who he is even. But all I knew, he was a chosan who we didn't say tachanun. And it wasn't because it's chaga. We didn't say tachanun because of the chosan. So we therefore I have this problem. And then you've got a grandfather who's had a grandson. A sort of chiyuv. What do I do? So I decided to call up, sorry? And the grandfather was, I'm not even sure when I said, I don't have the book telling who's a man, but he's a regular mispaller. Anyhow, so I called up the chosna. Now, thankfully, Baruch Hashem, I gave the grandfather hagba, and I gave him we had Misha Berach, etc. And Baruch Hashem, everything was fine. He's a very, very fine person, and everything was no problem. But can you imagine? I was imagining a scenario. What would have happened afterwards if he'd come up to me and said, "How dare you do such a, you're such a wicked gabber, you're such a..." And I could imagine a scenario in my mind of what could have happened. Now, what would the result of that been? The result probably would be he'd never ever get an aliyah again. But you follow, it creates a richuk, it creates a machlokas. That's not the way to do it. He could have come up to me and said, "Oh, you know, I think it's time you learned a few Hilchas Gabos, and you should know the Seder of things." Or perhaps you weren't aware that fellow is not a... So there's a way of doing it which doesn't hurt the covered of the person. It can be done properly, and it can be done wrongly. But the important thing is to keep in mind the covered of the other person, so you shouldn't be upset. And the obvious way to understand that is, what would you feel like if you were attacked in the converse situation? That's the first point to bear in mind. The second point is, it's far more effective to do things ba'akifin. Ba'akifin means in a roundabout way than go directly into it. So there's a famous story, it's an obvious story, but Ariel Levine was an adept at this. He was fantastic at doing this. I'll give you two examples of what he did. There was a guy who didn't have mezuzahs on all his doors. There was a mezuzah missing from one of his doors. And about anything came to the house. Now somebody could have turned around and said, "Oh, you shagas, you haven't got a mezuzah. Where's your mezuzah gone?" Now you can imagine what that would have done to the person. It would have been embarrassing. He'd gone red. He would have been upset. About anything says to him, "Oh, I think the mezuzah must have fallen off the door here." And the man really got, the man said, "Do you know what happened was I'd actually ordered the mezuzahs and only some of them came. I'm still waiting for the others," and everything was fine. But by saying, in an indirect manner, "Perhaps your mezuzah has fallen off the door," that showed that man that Rabbi Aaron Levine held him in high respect. And it happened, it can happen to anybody. Another famous example, Rabbi Aaron Levine was an absolute gone at this. There was once a prisoner, he used to go and visit the prisons, and in the various prisons, he would be makar of the people, and always spoke nicely to them, "Can I bring you something?" And the prison officers always allowed him to come in, because they knew that he created harmony within the prison situation. One day, he came to one prison, and they were making a minyan. And most of the people came to... After all, you're in a prison, you can go to him. But there's one Davkinik who would not come to the minyan under any circumstances. So they went up to Rabbi Aryeh Levine and said, "Rabbi Aryeh, can you try and sort this man out? I mean, he's a Yiddish fellow. What, he doesn't want to come to Davin." So Rabbi Aryeh went up to him and says, he always used to shake hands with everybody. He shook hands with him and he says to him, "Tell me, what's your name?" And the man said, "My name is Lipkin." "Oh," said Rabbi Aryeh, "are you descended from the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter? Oh, let me kiss you. I've been so much wanting to meet somebody who comes from that. Do you know what a great person that man was and how he's makarev people? Fantastic person he was." And he talked to him and he made him feel so, so good. And that's all, he didn't say anything else. And guess what happened? Who was the first man at the minyan? This chap joined the minyan as a result of that maisa. It didn't say a thing to him, but that was the tochocha. That's the best form of tochocha, to make the man feel good and get round him indirectly. And for example, that brings us to number three. Limtza nekudas maila. Look at the other person. Everybody has got some quality, whatever it might be. It doesn't matter how big a rosh of the person is, it must be something that is good with him. And if you can find that nakuda and work on that nakuda, that will have much more effect. The most famous story of this sort is the Chofetz Chaim. Many of you have probably heard it, but it's such a lovely story, it's worth telling again. The Chofetz Chaim once went into a pub, and I say a pub, I've got the wrong connotation. They went to an inn, because in the olden days, they used to go on journeys, and halfway through between one town to another, there would be a tavern, and people would stay overnight there, and they would get drinks, etc. And he goes into this place, and there's a chap there shouting and carrying on, but he's obviously Jewish, but he was currently making a right nuisance of himself. So the Chofetz Chaim says to the innkeeper, Tell me a bit about this man. He obviously seems a bit troubled. What's it all about? Oh, don't have anything to do with him. It's impossible. That guy is a terrible chap. He has fights with everybody. He doesn't keep a thing. But he's Jewish, isn't he? Said the Chofetz Chaim. Yes, he is a Jew. Yeah. He's what's called a Cantonist. A Cantonist means somebody who'd been brought up in Russia and taken away at a very early age to the army and never knew any more about Yiddishkeit. What, he's a Cantonist? And he's a Jewish person. Oh, let me sit next to him. No, don't sit next to him. He'll bash your brains out of me. He'll cause all the trouble for you. No, said the Chofetz Chaim, I want to sit next to him. He sits next to him. And the Chofetz Chaim, what are you doing here? You know. So he turned. The Chofetz Chaim turns around to him and says, tell me, I understand you're a Cantonist. He said, yeah, what of it? He said, and you still come into a Jewish pub? I mean, you're 7 years old. Tell me, you must have gone through hell when you are. And I would like to have the zechus. I'd like to have the zechus of being in your company. That a person who's been taken away at the age of seven and still has a feeling for Yiddishkeit and can come into a Jewish pub and eat kosher. Please tell me all about what you went through. And the man broke down and started crying and telling him his whole history, what he'd suffered and what he'd been through. And by the time he'd finished, he was the Chofetz Chaim's best friend. And the story goes that from then onwards, he became a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, and he became the Shamash of the Chofetz Chaim, and that man became a person with a complete Yoresh Shemayim. And how did the Chofetz Chaim do it? He didn't tell him off, say, what a Russia you are. He just sat next to him, found the one point which was strong in his favour, worked on it until he made him a person, a complete Baal Teshuva. So we've got to look at things that way. Try and find something the other person's good at and build that up and then use that in order to achieve your purpose. We haven't got much time, so I'll just very quickly go through the three things, and I want to finish off with the last one. When you're doing something, like you mentioned before, you've got to show the person the way to do it. It's no good just telling them, don't do it. A famous example, a person is a smoker. Smoking is probably against the halacha, but you tell the fellow that it's against the halacha, you're wasting your time, he's not going to listen to you. He clearly wants to know, how can I stop smoking? So there are various methods which you can use. Use the ways of telling that person how he can avoid smoking. Don't just tell him he mustn't smoke. Show him smoking anonymous or whatever it's called. Show him nicotine substitutes. Do things whereby the person can then operate and achieve what he wants to achieve. There's more to say about that, but that's the basic point. And there's a pasuk in Mishlei which actually more or less says that, according to the Gro. The pasuk says, Yesh botik amad keres cherev. There are people who hurt people, like pushing the sword into them. But lashon chachomim. But if chachomim will do it in a clever way, marpe, that will actually give you the refuah. So the Gaon says that's what you've got to do. Brings that pasuk as a proof. The next one is lichlolas atzma. It has much more effect if you say, I've been through it myself, and let's try and work on this together. Don't say, I'm a tzaddik and you're a rosha, and you've got things to do. No, I'm also a rosha, and I've also been done teshuvah. I've also learned how to do things, and that's the posture. Nach pasod drochein of nach kira v'nach shuvah Hashem. Let's all do this together. And there's a posuk also quoted here from Ezra, where one of the great tzaddikim at the time of Ezra actually said, we have done aveiros, when he hadn't. He'd done no aveir at all. But he used the plural form, and then people listen more. I've been through the same thing. And if you can do that, if you were a smoker yourself, and you've given up the smoke, you say, look, I was also a smoker once, and I also learned how to give it up. That has much, much more effect than you're just criticizing the other person. Finally, use a lot of chokhmah and psychology. And this is one of the most beautiful stories that I'll finish with. There's a famous Rebbe, I'm not sure which Rebbe it was, it could have been the Vizhinitsa Rebbe, but it was some great Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, had a situation like this. There was a bank manager who was owed a lot of money by an almona. The husband had died, and the widow hadn't been able to pay the mortgage, and he now had to repossess. And the bank manager had given her every possible time to do things, but the time had come now. I'm sorry, the bank rules are that you've got to pay up. If you don't pay, you're going to be dispossessed, you're going to be out. And the bank manager then sent a letter that the bailiffs are going to come to throw you in the street. The Rebbe heard about this, and the Rebbe said, I better speak to the bank manager. He rings up the bank manager, and the bank manager says, "Oh, Rebbe, it's so nice to hear from you." The Yiddish bank manager there, running the bank, I said, I need to come to speak to you. I said, "Rebbe, I'd love to have you come, but you must speak. The only thing I can't speak about is that widow. Don't come to me to speak about the widow, only about anything else. Yes, sir, Rebbe, I've got other things to talk to you about. We won't talk about that one, because I can't do anything about it. It's out of my hands." The Rebbe goes to the bank, sits there, and just sits there. The bank manager comes up, "Look, Rebbe, what did you come for? You know, it's very nice to see you, but you haven't said anything. We've been sitting here for 10 minutes, and you haven't opened your mouth. I mean, what's it all about?" So the Rebbe said, "I've come here to do a mitzvah." "So what mitzvah?" "You don't mean the mitzvah of that woman, do you? I can't help it, I've told you. It's out of my hands. I've got no control whatsoever. I can't deal with it." So the Rebbe says, "Yes, I know that. And exactly why I come to the mitzvah. I'm keeping the mitzvah, which says, the Gemara in Yevamos, which we mentioned before, Kishem she mitzvah loima dover nishma, kach mitzvah shelo loima dover she'eino nishma. I've come to be mekayim the mitzvah of dover she'eino nishma, because I know you won't listen to me, so I'm not going to say I'm being mekayim the mitzvah. I've been kept the mitzvah, I'm going now." Do you know what happened? The following day, the woman gets a letter, "Your mortgage has been paid. You can stay." What had happened was, through psychology, the Rebbe realized to have an argument with that man would have been a waste of time. But he realized that this was the way he could get through. He was, after all, Yorish Shemaim, the bank manager, but he felt his hands had been tied. What did he do? He realized, after the Rebbe had been what a fool he'd been, he raised the money from somewhere else, somehow, and he found some loophole, and he let it off. That is teichocha, psychological teichocha. He didn't say a thing to the man, but he achieved his purpose. That is teichocha of the highest order. So we're finishing now. There's more to be said on the mitzvah, but if each of us will take upon ourselves not just to sit back when somebody's insulted you or upset you or hurt you, but to do what's necessary to do, to put the thing right, to remove the lo sisna achichibul vavecha, and to give the proper teichocha, Emirtz Hashem will be on the way to getting Mashiach.